I'm Paul Olson. This is the Future of Pickleball show on Selkirk TV. My guests today are going to show all of us the future of health, performance, and recovery, what it can be for pickleball players and every other type of athlete. I have been aware of a small part of what we're going to discuss today from my sports background. Today we're going to learn a lot about where sports medicine and understanding what can enable us to become the total athlete we're capable of being. As I bring my guests on today, let me set the stage for our discussion. Are there ways your brain can make you a better pickleball athlete? What can science show us using our brain differently? Let me introduce my guests today. Joe Frasca and Dr. Grove Higgins. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Into this show, I want to talk to you about Selkirk's amazing line of pickleball nets. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, Selkirk has the perfect net for you. When you choose a Selkirk net, you're not just choosing any net. You're opting for the official net of the PPA Tour, where excellence meets professional play. With Selkirk's line of nets, you can play pickleball anywhere. Selkirk's range of nets cater to every player's needs, offering budget-friendly choices for casual enthusiasts and premium options for those who want a more competitive edge, ensuring quality play for all levels. I got a Selkirk net myself, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. It's all about playing on your terms wherever you want. So if you love pickleball as much as I do, check out Selkirk's pickleball nets. Get the freedom to play anywhere and elevate your game with the net trusted by the pros. Selkirk's got you covered. If you're interested in getting a net of your own, go to selkirk.com/collections/nets. You can also find this link in the description of this show. All right, let's jump into it. Hello, I'm Paul Olson. Welcome to the Future of Pickleball show on Selkirk TV. Today we have a really interesting show about something that should affect all of us: health, wellness, how we take care of ourselves in the pickleball space. My guests today are going to show us all how the future of health, performance, and recovery can be for pickleball players and every other type of athlete. I have been aware of a small part of what we're going to discuss today from my sports background. Today we're all going to learn a lot about where sports medicine, the understanding of what can enable us to become the total athlete we're capable of being. And as I bring my guests on today, let me set the stage for this discussion. Are there ways your brain can make you a better pickleball athlete? What can science show us about using our brain differently? Let me introduce my guests today. Joe Frasca and Dr. Grove Higgins. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Nice to meet you, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you again.
This has been, I've known Joe for a long time. He and I have been around the pickleball space for quite a while. Grove, I've had a couple conversations with. There's some really interesting stuff we're going to do today here, so hang on. Before we get started, I do want to ask you, if you like this show and what we do on it, hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications button so you'll get all of these shows as soon as they come out. Joe, let's start with you. Can you give me a little bit of an idea as to what your past is, what you have been doing in the pickleball space in the past, and where you are today?
Yeah, thanks, Paul, for the question. I started out in 2017. Like everybody else, somebody said, you should try this game out. I went down to the local courts, fell in love immediately, and was fortunate to have some pretty good players in the area to train with, and I got into competitive pickleball within my first year, really, and had some success at the 5-0 level. A couple years later, I went into the senior pro tournaments and again had some decent success, and been playing that. Just turned 60 last year, so I was able to move up into the Masters, and so I'm playing some APP Masters tournaments now, and also playing in the National Pickleball League for my second year. So that's my playing. I'm also doing a lot of teaching, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit, but yeah, I'm just really excited about some of the teaching that I'm doing with my company, Neuro Pickleball.
Cool. And now, Grove, tell us, give us a little bit of an idea as to your background in pickleball, because I know it's a little different because you come from the medical side of the world. Give us your intro.
Yeah, well, as with most athletes I work with, I get to experience their athletics through their brokenness and to see guys after they've hurt themselves in training and in their sport and such like that. Before that, I've always been in the medical space, and in particular, working with performance athletes has always been one of my passions because they're looking, especially at the level that Joe's at. You know, we're looking at getting that, gaining that 1% that puts you on the podium, and hoping to keep you there as well. And so it becomes a challenge to somebody like me. So as it goes to pickleball, Joe was the guy. As he was discovering it, I was discovering it with him, and he's sharing his experiences and his joy of discovering this new sport for himself. And then that quickly evolved into a pro career, and it's been kind of fun to kind of stand alongside him and watch him grow into that.
Now, in both of your cases, you both have companies that are started with the name Neuro.
That's not a
Grove,
mistake.
tell us, a lot of people don't really understand exactly what the neuro or neurological is. How does that factor into a pickleball player's existence?
Well, the neurological part, and when we're talking neuro, we're talking brain and all the parts that the brain connects to drive muscles and everything. That's the main control mechanism for this whole system. And so you can be a relatively strong athlete. You could have relatively good endurance, but the ability for the neurological system to employ that strength and that speed and that endurance is highly dependent on how well the neurological system is trained and conditioned. And so for both of our companies, again, they're related, right? I have the clinic, they have the pickleball training aspect of it, and they provide coaching on that. We're really targeting the same system, that neurological system, training that up to make not only the brain work better, but it work better with the body so it can play pickleball.
That's what I want to get into. So that's really the cool stuff that we've got into. When I think of, and we'll get into how your relationship and Joe's came about and some of the struggles that he had that you were able to help him with. But when you're working with an athlete that comes in to see you, let's say that is broken, in general, what is the approach that you're taking that might be different or might be more on the leading edge of where medicine and recovery is going?
Yeah. So most people, the problems that they come in with are repetitive motion type things. So they're over in pickleball, let's just stick with pickleball. They're over gripping. They're using too much wrist and not enough body. You know, things like that. And so parts get worn and they break down, that type of thing. But what we're really looking at is seeing, okay, how can we change how this person is moving primarily, and then how their body is, how efficiently their body is moving. Because if you're moving efficiently, and just like as you gain new skills in a sport, you start to move more efficiently, your speed on the court increases without increasing the effort behind it. Your speed, because you're recognizing situations and directions that the ball is moving or the way that the opponent is moving. So the brain coordinates all of this, and so when somebody comes into me with a problem, we're looking not only at why is that elbow hurting, but also what are the skills behind that movement that might be causing that to happen. So we're not just looking at it from a, well, you got a tennis elbow from, you know, too much flick with the wrist all the time. It's why are you doing that? And you fix that why, you fix the problem inevitably.
You know, that really is interesting because one of the things, I was a tennis teaching pro in my past and went through quite a bit of training in that. And we were always dealing with how do we get a student or a trainee practicing something better? How do we set up their motion, their stroke? And one of the things that I found really interesting in my first conversations with Joe about what you guys are doing is how you approach how the brain affects everything first. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. The brain's taking in lots of information, both from outside. So if you're on the court, it's taking in what's happening on the other side of the net, the wind and such like that, and all that. But then also what's happening inside. And then it's looking at what's coming at it. So in the case of pickleball, the ball's coming over and it's coordinating a response to that ball as it's moving across the net and to your left, say. And so if the athlete is trained well, those movements to counter that and to go in and dink the ball back over the net comes very intuitively. You know, the better athlete, it's almost as though they're not thinking the game. The game just happens reflexively, effortless. And when you look at them as an observer of the game, they look fluid. They look like they're ahead of the ball, like the ball, they're seeing the future and they're where the ball's going to be, you know, things like that. And so, again, looking at the nervous system as a trainable part of the body, and really the part that really matters the most, we can help athletes gain that no matter what their age, no matter what their skill level is, by training it the right way. So that way, again, it's taking in all this information, setting it up with the skills that you teach them as a coach, and the body drives to the goal much faster, safer, and with less of that repetitive injury that I end up getting to see on my table.
Sure. Joe, you know, in your background, you're a professional educator. You've been an athlete your whole life, and now you're competing at the highest levels in the senior end of the game. How did your relationship with Grove come about? Because we're going to get into some things that you had to have work to fix you. How did that start?
Is this going to be a two-hour podcast, or
no? But
some
you
of
can
my
get
injuries?
To it.
So I met Grove through a mutual friend, probably 17 years ago, when I was playing tennis. And she said, you got to go see him. And so I went in, and he did the typical chiropractic treatment on my tennis elbow. But what he also did was said, Joe, when you go home, you need to do this, 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 and this. And me not listening like I always have to my parents and everybody else that I should listen to, I said, yeah. And I kept having the same injuries over and over. When I started playing pickleball and knew that this was going to be something that I was going to do for a long time and take seriously, I started finally listening to Grove about the off-court things that I need to be doing, both for injury prevention, but also for my performance. And it was unbelievable how people started commenting on, Joe, you're seeing the ball before I even hit it. Joe, you're so on balance while you're playing. And I thought, man, this guy really knows what he's talking about. And so I really invested 100% into Grove. And he created programs for me. Like I said, not only for performance, but I was breaking down. And I used to text him. He's going to get a text in a day or so saying Humpty Dumpty needs to come back. That was kind of our joke, is I break down, he puts me back together. And we've been doing that for, like I said, 17 years now.
Now, I know from conversations that we've had that you had some fairly serious issues in terms of, you had some, well, other than those issues, Joe, but you had some concussion protocols in your lifetime. And you had some chronic back issues that really challenged you as an athlete, didn't you?
I did. I had a pretty significant accident when I was 6 years old. Had a pretty serious traumatic brain injury. And, you know, back in 19, I don't think they realized the repercussions of our concussions. And then growing up playing hockey, I had three more blackout concussions. And again, all of that cumulative started coming out when I started playing professional pickleball, and it was Grove who had to try and put the pieces back together, time and time again. But it got to the point related to the back. I got to the point where I would get out of bed and I just said, I can't go on anymore. I can't do this. And I'd go down into my basement and I'd do the program that Grove told me to do. And then I'd go play 3 hours of pickleball. And I'd do that day in and day out. And then every day would start out with, I can't go on like this. So Grove finally realized that this was less physiological and more in the brain. And so he put me on to some books and finally recommended that I get some neurofeedback done. And one day I woke up just like he said I would, and my pain was gone. It was like a miracle.
Now, when you say that, you need to explain to us a little deeper, or Grove, perhaps you can jump in on this. What was it that you were identifying that he had not seen before that, that you recognized needed to be fixed or changed or adjusted in his sports protocols?
Well, we identified, you know, really early on that, you know, with the pain that just keeps recurring, reoccurring, you know, there's usually something deeper involved with that. And like Joe already alluded to, you know, he was kind of going for the fix and not for the cure in the beginning. And he needed that motivation. The motivation for him that was the dream of becoming a pro athlete. And so that changed things considerably. His training improved and things like that. But then there were those chronic things like that low back pain that was not just debilitating, it was demoralizing for him, wouldn't you say, Joe? You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, it got to this point where he doubted, you know, whether or not he was meant to do anything in the sport. And I was frustrated for him because the things that should be working for him were not working. And so as we got into the discussion of his past brain injuries and such like that, we realized that the brain was playing a much bigger part of this than his body, because his body has injuries. Everybody has some injury, but his had quite a few, especially going back to that injury at 6 years. And so the neurofeedback became kind of that keystone leveraging point that allowed his body to take all the things that he'd been doing that were very positive, that were very helpful to him, but he wasn't getting the result from, and it opened up him to all the results. The changes were pretty profound. Not only did the pain start to go down, but he'd get on my table and I'd put my hands on him, and he felt like a different human being than I'd been working with the previous years. And so it didn't just have an effect on his pain or his performance, it changed his body.
Truly.
That is really interesting. You know, one of the things, Joe, you and I had been talking in our conversations coming up to this, and you had talked about getting a PRP injection. And I know that surgery had been something that you had been concerned about or thinking about. Can you tell us what that experience has been for you?
Yeah, that was at the end of last year. I had two tears in my shoulder, and a friend of mine had the same situation, and he went and he got surgery. And so once again, I went to Grove and, you know, said, what are we going to do about this? And like he always does, he recommended a less invasive treatment, which was the PRP. And he got me hooked up with a place to get that done. And a month later, I was in a tournament. I literally thought I was going to have to take a year off based on what other people that I had talked to that had gone through surgery and stuff. A month later after my PRP, I had a tournament. I was really happy with the way I played, but I was still, it was sore. Overall, I could tell that things were getting better. I just had a tournament last week. It's been 3 months now, and I forgot I was hurt. I had three full days. I was on the podium. And I literally, after that tournament, I went, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be hurt right now. It was just, again, like my body had changed over the time with the neurofeedback. I feel like my shoulder has just completely changed back to where it used to be.
Grove, would you explain what PRP is? Because it took me a while to figure it out, and Joe may not remember.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, so PRP falls into a realm of what's called regenerative medicine. It's using PRP, platelet-reduced plasma. So it's taking the out of your blood, it's taking the component called a platelet and concentrating it down and then injecting it into areas where there's injuries. In the case of joints, the problem with joint injuries and particular degeneration is that the joint itself does not have direct blood flow. And because of that, unlike when you cut yourself, you know, and blood comes to the surface, that blood and that scab and the scar tissue that forms afterward heals very quickly because the blood flow is directly there. And so it delivers all the healing mediums to that area of the skin and the muscle and such like that. But around a joint, that isn't the fact. And so when the injury happens, whatever inflammation happens at that time, so say I hyperextend my finger and the joint is injured, whatever inflammation happens right there at that time, that's pretty much the extent of what kind of healing I'm going to get from that incident, right? So what PRP does is it reintroduces essentially that injury state by taking those things out of your blood that help your skin and muscle heal really, really well, put them into the joint and allow the joint to experience the same kind of healing that the skin and the muscle would because it has direct blood flow. And so what it does is it helps to restore the joint and it helps to reduce the pain. It helps to regenerate tissues. And in the case of ligaments and tendons, help to rebuild them that otherwise surgery would be the only answer to. And you're never guaranteed the same level of performance, comfort, and satisfaction with that joint after surgery. You just never are.
Is there... The term PRP, I've become familiar with. This is similar to stem cell or similar to other treatments with hyaluronic acid. Would that be correct?
So hyaluronic acid, we can kind of put own classification. It's taking the hyaluronic acid, which is a component of the fluid inside of a joint, and it's taking it, concentrating it, putting it back in the joint, making the joint more lubricated. It's like putting oil into an engine. You need it. And when you don't have it, it degenerates and it takes on more damage day by day. So that's in its own classification. So PRP and stem cells come from bone marrow concentrate, are related in that when you put PRP into a joint, it calls stem cells to that area, which help that healing. Again, the scar tissue becomes eventually just like the skin and the muscle around it. And that's because the stem cells have done their job. So you put PRP in there, it's doing the same thing here, but then you can do the next level up, which is that bone marrow concentrate, which takes the stem cells out of the bone marrow, which comes again out of the bone. They go to your pelvis and they take it out of the bone and then they inject it there. So PRP brings hundreds of thousands of stem cells to a joint where the injection is done, whereas bone marrow concentrate puts billions of cells into that joint.
Wow.
And so the choice of doing PRP versus bone marrow really depends on the injury, the health of the person, and the what the practitioner thinks is going to get the biggest bang for the buck, because there is a cost involved. And if you can get away with PRP and get the same results as doing bone marrow concentrate, okay, that's a great and it might actually be the first step before you go to something like bone marrow concentrate. Because you want to make sure it's going to work because it's an investment.
You know, and it is interesting being deep in the pickleball space as I am and being on the more mature side of the game, shoulder injuries are something that I have seen a lot of people have to deal with. And often surgery is, they are literally a year down recovering from that. Joe, I think it really, you mentioned a month, but I think you ought to go back and kind of expand a little bit. You thought you were going to have surgery. Is that correct?
Well, I believe if I didn't know Grove, the route I would have taken, because I had been going to an orthopedic surgeon to get some injections, and that was his recommendation of next steps. But I always revert back to Grove for everything. I always have. And so yes, before I talked to Grove about the PRP, I thought I was going to be out for a year. Before I go on though, Paul, I'm kind of offended that you didn't think I could explain that the way Grove just did.
Well,
You know me too well.
So, you know, but the I remember talking to you, and Joe and I have known each other a long time and talk about a lot of things. And in this idea of how the brain affects performance in sports, we've been very synergistic in this and understand each other. So it's been cool. But the fact that you were able to go from really being a hurt puppy to getting your PRP injection and playing a senior level pro event 30 days later, that's accurate, isn't it?
It is. It was Masters Pro, but I'm 60 now, so, but yes, it was a Masters Pro tournament.
Well, let me just tell you, for any of you that haven't seen Joe Frasca play pickleball, that son of a gun is quick, nimble, fast. He gets it done. And so when he was talking about being sidelined for a year in pickleball, I was so excited to hear his results and how this whole thing turned out. You know, I want to segue for just a minute. So we've kind of covered how beat up Joe was, how badly he's treated himself, and what an abuser of his own body he's been. Let's talk about where this thing goes from here. So with NeuroAthlete Grove, talk a little bit about how what your practice is, how you deal with people, and how they might engage with you if they see this and want to talk to you.
Definitely. Can I back up one second, though? What
Certainly.
really makes the biggest difference in this story with Joe is the PRP is a great tool. It is a fantastic technology and technique. But what you do after that is really what makes the difference, because that's like planting seeds in the garden. It's how that garden is then conditioned and intended that makes all the difference. Joe is a consummate a professional. He takes every little bit of guidance and training that we give him and he puts it into action. And because of that, he earns the result. He didn't get the result from the PRP. The PRP was, again, what was needed to grow and improve that shoulder the way it needed to be so he could win tournaments again and such without surgery. But he did the work. And that's a differentiator. And I can compare patient to patient, athlete to athlete, and how much effort they put into it, and are they a good student or not? And the results are very different results for them. So if you're gonna make that investment, you need to want the result that Joe wanted and put the same effort behind it. So
Very good.
going back to the first part of that question, or the question itself. So you know, we're here in Colorado Springs and Monument area of Colorado, southern part of the Front Range here, and we have athletes come from all over the place. Most of them, of course, are local and such, but we do have individuals come from all over the place. And then we also have individuals who are remote as well. The nice part about the way that we work with people is that we really want to make them the therapist. We want to give them the skills to keep pushing the buttons every day. Like Joe goes down, first thing he does is he goes down to his gym and he does his routine. And throughout the day, he's doing his little routines and everything like that. And that's what makes gets the person the result, really. So you don't necessarily have to be here. It is awfully nice to have you there just for my sake of being able to put my hands on you and things like that. But we can look and see and train anybody anywhere in the world. And we've had those people from everything from a professional fighter in Europe to a woman on the side of Mount Everest at 17,000 feet. That we've been able to help because, in working with them and them doing the work, they get the result, and such. So we work with people from all over the place, and which is a great joy. And if they want to get in touch with us, it's as easy as going online and going to NeuroAthlete and reaching out to us that way. I do consults with people all the time just to see if there's a problem that we can address in a remote way, or if they need to come in, or if they just need to go someplace else. Because, like you've already seen with Joe, I needed to bring other team members in, a neurofeedback person down in the Springs, a PRP and regenerative medicine person from Broomfield, Colorado. We're connected all over the country to be able to help athletes where they're at. and get the result that they want.
That really is the message that I was looking to bring to the my viewership here, is we have so many people in our game that are lifetime athletes, they're older athletes, they've had some breakdowns, and they're struggling with what is the best way for me to come back. And I'm excited to know that surgery is not the only solution in many cases. So this has been great. You know, Joe, if you would talk a little bit about now how NeuroPickleball has come off of this and where this new training system that you're doing has come from and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, so Grove had a partner named Peter, and Peter started having an interest in pickleball. He has that brain knowledge and a passion for pickleball, and of course I'm a pickleball person, and I'm fascinated with the brain through the training that I've been doing. We got together and we started talking about how can we bring the brain part of this to the pickleball for not just me, but for people all over the country. So we formed a little sister company, if you will, called NeuroPickleball. And basically it's pretty complex now because we're trying to meet the needs of a lot of different populations. But basically it's taking the process I went through, the vision training, balance, mobility, agility, and giving that to our clients. We do that through clinics, you know, large group stuff where we'll introduce a few priming techniques, a few visual priming techniques and mobility of the shoulders and stuff. Or we work individually with typically players that are at the 4-5 level wanting to get to the 5-0 or pro level. And we create a program individually for them that incorporates all of those things that I've been doing with Grove all these years.
You know, it's interesting to me when you mentioned the visuals. Back in my past, I was actually part of a study done by the Tennis Association for Teaching Professionals as to how to get students to understand you're not watching the ball. And they were finding that the pro coaches were, that was the singularly most common remark they made all day long, and they couldn't understand why the student wasn't understanding it. And so they were doing a study as to how do we figure this out? Is there a way that we can get the student to understand maybe there's a level of accuracy in your visual acuity that could change the way your brain is able to make things happen? So as Joe and I were having that kind of a conversation one day as he was telling me about his neuroathlete, and that really led to my real interest in following and ultimately to having this get together today to talk about this stuff. You know, when you talk about it, explain that a little bit more in depth, because a lot of people who may very well think they're watching the ball well and they're not, how would you explain that to them where they could benefit from a higher level of precision?
Sure. So from my understanding, there's, and this is arguable, I think, but there's approximately 21 vision skills. We think of peripheral vision, we think of 20/20 vision, but there's several others. I think the one most specific to pickleball is what's called focal accommodation, the ability to focus in on something, let's say from 14 feet away, and then to focus on something right here, right? Which is what's happening all the time in pickleball. Well, that's a skill that you can actually train to better focus in on that object, like I said, from far away and then up near, up close. So that's just one example of a way to improve your visual skills. We talk a lot about, and we do this with our clients, where we have them volleying two balls or throwing two balls back and forth. And we always get this question, well, should I be looking at the ball or should I be looking at the person? And that's a great question, because we filmed some pro players from the side as they were volleying, and you'll find that some of them actually stay focused on what's happening on the other side of the net, and others, literally, their eyes will come back to their paddle. So my belief is having strong skills in both of those, which is focal accommodation, is going to make you a better pickleball player. You're going to be able to react to that ball quicker. You're going to be able to anticipate better. So it's things like that we work on. For me, when I first started, because of my brain issues, we have issues here. I had balance issues. So somebody throws a lob up and I'm coming up and turning like that and I'm getting dizzy. So Grove had to help me with some benign positional vertigo things, which is another thing that you have to work on through your visual system. I would tell you, I can't even tell you how many clients we've had that are wearing bifocals or trifocals, and I'm giving them a lesson, and all of a sudden the ball's coming off the sides of the paddles, and I say, "Are you wearing, bifocals?" "Yeah, how'd you know?" "Well, you're seeing the ball out of this lens, and then it disappears, and then you're seeing it out of this lens, and by then it's too late." So we look at all those factors that are affecting their vision in terms of their pickleball performance.
That is the stuff that I find so interesting. When we talk about hand speed and hands battles, in the pickleball game, isn't a lot of that dictated by how quickly someone can pick up the ball initially?
Absolutely.
And that's a trainable skill, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yep.
This is, to some degree, I really ex we've accomplished our goal here. But Joe, I want you to tell me a little bit about when you run, why don't you explain to people what your clinics entail? What someone who would sign up to come to one of your events, or maybe even want to host one at their club and bring their players together, what would that clinic look like?
Yeah, so I wish I had one answer for you, but the reality is what we've found over time is just going to a facility with a preconceived notion of what we're going to do, we're not really meeting the needs of all of those people. So I just did 3 days of clinics here in Bonita Springs, and that was a group that pickleball is their social life. They're really not concerned about getting better. So I created some clinics that I call them the essentials. These are just some of the basic things you want to learn. If somebody contacts us and says, "We have a group of 3-5 players that want to play 4-0 next year," then we're going to use our what we would call our traditional clinics, where we come in and we teach them some of the visual skills, the balance, mobility, agility. So the clinic would have a component of the neuro stuff that we do, and then of course the on-court skills and strategies. But like I said earlier, there's people out there that really want to get to the level like where I was and where I wanted to go. And that's really a one-on-one program. People come in for 5 days and it's 8 hours a day, and we just beat this stuff into them. So it varies.
As you're talking about that and the level of performance that you're able to find both from Dr. Grove's side of things as well as from yours on the teaching coaching practitioner side, Joe, where we've got players two that come to mind on the pro game where Tyson McGuffin and James Ignatowicz are both they're demonstrating that they've got some injuries, they've got some stuff that gets in the way. Are there any Can that level of athlete benefit from the things that you guys are working on?
Go ahead, Grove. This is
It,
you.
100%. Again, when you're talking that 1% improvement that keeps you on the podium and ahead of the competition at that world-class level, it makes a huge amount of difference, because that's the part that rarely gets trained in the system, is that neurological system where there's specific tools targeting specific deficits in the neurological system. And sometimes that opens up even greater amount of performance than the person experienced before. I can't tell you how many athletes, and Joe is one of these, that was really competing really well, but there were biomechanical problems and movement problems that they were overcoming to compete at the level that they were. And then when you get into that system, fix that problem, and then those movement assist, that movement inefficiency gets fixed, all of a sudden, not only are they a good athlete, but they're a different athlete, even better than they were before, with less effort and with less pain and such like that. So there's a lot of opportunity there. But even for the athlete who is just starting out, getting in, like your older athlete in their 50s and 60s, getting into this, they're overcoming a lot of injury and accumulated trauma that their body's taken up because they sat at a desk for their whole career and they tried to be a weekend warrior and such. But now they want to play. Now they want to be competitive socially and maybe even a little bit beyond that. And the aches, the pains, and the difficulties of learning the skill become almost insurmountable. Again, once you target that nervous system, a lot of those fall away and they find out that they're an athlete that they didn't know that they were.
That is very cool. You know, there is a question that I want to ask both of you because it's sort of a relevant topic right now in the sport. And that is, we've talked a lot about vision, seeing things. What about eye protection? Is that something that you think is worthy of paying attention to? Oh, I guess so, it is.
Real quick story. My first year, I'd only been playing 9 months, and I went to Nationals, and I was warming up. Some guy asked me to get on the court and warm up. Well, it turns out he was one of the top senior pros. I didn't know it. And we started volleying, and I was wearing sunglasses just because I have contacts. And that ball came off the net and hit me right here on the lens, and I literally had to scrape pickleball off of my frame. And I swore to myself that I would never play doubles pickleball without glasses again. And I'm a relatively shorter player, and I play very low, so balls coming at my eyes all the time. I've been hit, I'll bet you, 15 to 20 times right in the eye area, and I've seen people get hit. But what's kind of interesting about it as well is, again, we've filmed pro players volleying, and you see this little flinch reflex, and then we say, here, put these on, and they start to volley, and the flinch reflex is gone, and they don't even know it. The brain is smart enough to say, this is scary to me. And when you take that fear away, it's going to increase your performance because the brain's now relaxed, which is the topic of this whole conversation today. And I think it's interesting that we're starting to see some of these young pros put the glasses on.
And any particular glasses or just good quality protective eyewear from any brand is what's desirable?
I've seen people get the little sunglasses from the dollar store and pop the lenses out just so their eyes are protected. And I'm seeing some extremely expensive eyewear coming into pickleball. And I wear a $40 pair of glasses, and they've been working fine for 7 years now.
Cool.
So.
Cool. Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much. I think this has been really just as informative as I knew it was going to be. I do a fair amount of research on this stuff, and looking at the things that are out there in the medical sports arena, I think you guys are really on the front edge of where things are going. Any closing remarks or anything that I haven't covered that you think we should add to this show? Grove, let's go. Anything on your end?
Yeah. First of all, things like pain and such like that are not normal. Get that taken a look at. See if you can find a practitioner. And if you can't find a practitioner, contact us. So I'll help you find a practitioner where you're at, if necessary. But don't let yourself believe that pain is normal. And even as you get older, pain is not normal. So we can improve that. And then get yourself a coach. Most of what we do in our clinic is the coaching part because we want people to own the tools. But you don't know what you don't know. And having that person that has the skills, the knowledge, the observational skills to find out what those problems are removes a lot of the obstacles and the frustration to getting the most out of what you're trying to achieve, which is play a sport that could take you right to the end of your very life if you really wanted it to, and allow you to enjoy things be not just sociable but competitive and keep yourself really healthy. So don't let yourself buy into the idea of pain, and don't let frustration of slow skill development and things like that get in your way. Get yourself a coach.
Perfect. Thanks. Joe, any thoughts on your end?
Well, just to echo what he said, I mean, I'm the living proof of what he's talking about. I've had injuries from head to toe, and because I've dealt with them, I'm I'm back out, I'm having fun, I'm staying competitive, and but it wouldn't have been possible had I not met Grove and gone through the processes that he's talking about. And then lastly, Paul, I just want to thank you for your show. And I think what you're doing is fantastic for pickleball and looking at the future. And I hope that this regenerative treatments start to become a more prevalent part of pickleball, but any injury related stuff. But I think pickleball is going to, there's a big room for it in pickleball because of the types of injuries that we're seeing.
Yeah, there sure is. And my whole network of people and players that I see an awful lot of, I'm a snowbirder in the winter down in Arizona. I'm around a lot of other retirees that are snowbirders. Recovery from injury is a major part of our existence, and more ways to help people find solutions is what I really hope to do. And I think we've done it today. I really do. I appreciate it so much, you guys. Thanks so much. And viewers, if you like what we've done here, hit the like button, subscribe to the show, hit the notification so you'll get the announcement of these things coming up. And the last thing I want to ask of you is, if there's other subjects that you think would be good for the pickleball community, make them in the comments. Thank you all so much. Guys, thanks a ton. This was a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.